Well, I've never been much of an evangelist, except for the Broncos. In fact, I don't even like telling strangers what I do for a living. Not because I'm ashamed, but because the conversation inevitably goes one of three ways. The most common response is simply, "Oh," which is often followed by, "But you don't look like a pastor." Or better yet, "You still look like you're in high school." Not knowing whether to take these as compliments or insults, the conversation then comes to an awkward halt as we figure out where to go from there. Or then there's the second way it tends to go. After learning what I do, I get the response, "Oh, well, my uncle's girlfriend went to church once." As if that has any bearing on our current conversation. And then there's the final option, and depending on the day, it is either my favorite or the most dreaded way that the conversation can go. As soon as a stranger knows that I'm a pastor, I get their whole life story, the ins and outs, the ups and downs. Now, when I'm in a hurry or not in a particularly gracious mood, this can annoy me. But then when I stop and think about it, when I slow down and give pause, I am grateful for these moments because they are holy. They are moments when the Spirit allows someone to open up to me, a complete stranger, and share their deepest hopes and fears. Being invited in like this reminds me that I am truly standing on holy ground. The stories we read today are also filled with the mystery of holy ground. The experiences of Moses and Jesus and their encounters with God are some of the most baffling stories in Scripture. They leave us with more questions than answers. And while we might not be able to fully comprehend these stories, we can definitely understand them as examples of God's beauty and God's mystery. They allow us to see God's power and majesty in a whole new light and give us a glimpse of God's glory. These stories invite us into the mystery of God and call us to walk together onto this sacred and holy ground. Which sounds exciting, right? Who wouldn't want to experience something so grand and mysterious as the transfiguration of Christ? It's intriguing, if not a little bizarre. But if we're honest, holy ground is often uncomfortable. We tend to approach with caution because it forces us to be vulnerable and open. It requires us to confront ourselves and God with the truth of who we are. Holy ground is not safe. So when we find ourselves treading close, we often walk around it, for it is just too intimidating. Instead of engaging in that conversation with someone about our faith, we quickly change the subject. Instead of inviting our friends into this part of our lives, we assume they wouldn't be interested and never mention a word. We might be afraid of awkward conversations or afraid of being placed in a box of others thinking that we are that kind of Christian. Or perhaps it's not even the fear that deters us, but just the simple fact that we don't know where to begin. Or then, even if we do know where to begin, we still don't seem to have the right words, the adequate words, to describe our experiences with God. Sometimes we just don't know how to speak of this mystery. I think this is why Peter, in all his sleepiness, suggests that the disciples build three dwelling places, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus, while they are on the mountain. Peter was faced with the glory and majesty of God, and in the moment, words failed him. Logical thought went out the window, and Peter found himself not knowing what to say. Standing on holy ground and experiencing the glory of God has the tendency to do that to us, to take our breath away as we strain to mutter something intelligible. And perhaps that, too, is why no one said anything after the experience on the mountaintop. Maybe it wasn't because they were trying to keep it a secret, but just they didn't have adequate words. They couldn't fully express the beauty and glory of God. We often find ourselves in a similar place when we encounter God's glory. We often don't know what to say, and words fail us. We can't express our thoughts and our feelings, so we just keep it to ourselves. We don't share God's glory because we just don't know how. But in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he encourages them, and therefore encourages us, not to keep the glow of God's glory hidden. He makes it clear that we are not to veil God's glory out of fear or discomfort, or the fact that we don't have the words to describe it. We are called to share God's glory, and in doing so, find hope and receive the freedom of Christ. Every year on Transfiguration Sunday, we read these stories of Moses and Jesus, and we see their transformations, and again are caught up in the mystery of it all. Now, we might be tempted to write these stories off because they are so strange. We may find it hard to relate because we might not have undergone a transformation of that degree. But the beauty of these stories, and the point that I think Paul wants to make, is that through Christ, we are all transformed. Through our relationship with Christ, God's glory is in us and around us and beside us. God's glory is not just for Jesus or Moses or Elijah, but for us too. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ invites us to undergo a transformation of our own. And we know that we all love a good story of transformation. It's written in our DNA to appreciate the before and the after. That's why shows like Fixer Upper or Biggest Loser or Top Chef have such a huge fan base. We watch Top Chef and then we go into the kitchen and whip up a creative and delicious meal. Or we watch The Biggest Loser and go jump on the treadmill. In the same way, we are inspired by those whose transformations we witness, whether it is someone we know closely or someone we admire from afar. Because watching something transform reminds us that we too are never finished. We are continually being formed and transformed through the power of Christ, which is at work in us. That's the heart of Paul's message to us. We are transformed in Christ, and we should be excited to talk about it, to share about who we were and who we have become, and when words fail us, to shine the light of God's glory by living our own authentic lives. So next time a stranger asks me what I do, I won't think twice about sharing who I am. I'll walk willingly onto that holy ground, ready for the Spirit to do its work. For Christ is still at work in me, and Christ is still at work in you, transforming us and creating us to be beautiful images, beautiful reflections of God's glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.